Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
All right, as Mary and I now move the show into the B block, as I said just before that sponsors break, the airline and aviation sector of travel is going to be our focus as show friend Richard Abelofi is about to jump aboard. But first, we're sponsored by Colette.
If you love to travel, but you're not such a fan of all the travel planning, go guided with Colette. Booking a Colette tour means experiencing all the exhilaration, the joy, the wonder, all the fun of the destination without the anxiety, stress, and worry that can often come with coordinating complicated travel plans. Their regionally based design teams seek out the best activities, day trips, and restaurants, so all you have to do is enjoy them.
Since 1918, Colette's been a leader in guided travel. They operate tours on all seven continents with varieties to suit every type of travel style. So visit Colette.com for more info or check out rmworldtravel.com. Look under sponsors.
All right, let's talk aviation. Off to the show hotline we go with Richard Abelofia, longtime show friend and a managing director with Aerodynamic Advisory.
Nice to reconnect with you, Richard. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
Great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here with us this morning. So I want to start off today talking about something that is and will be impacting air travel, and that's the serious Pratt & Whitney engine problems that Raytheon Technologies, or they're now known as RTX, they say it's going to cost up to $7 billion to fix. In short, for our listeners around the country that may not be aware of this, there's metal contamination that's used to make the geared turbofan engines. It has been found to crack. That's not clearly very good if you're flying at 30,000 feet. And 700 or so, and possibly up to 1,200 Airbus planes are being grounded. It's a massive issue for RTX. It's a massive issue for Airbus. It's a massive issue for the airlines operating the Airbus A320neos and the Airbus A220s. It's certainly going to impact travelers well into 2024, or late 2024, I guess, from what I'm seeing, with plane shortages. So how do you see this unfolding, Richard, and the impact it's going to have?
Well, it's not what we need, you know. I mean, no question. First of all, let's just make it clear. This is not a safety of flight thing, right? The problem was caught. There will be inspections. This isn't one of those horrible, oh, my God, it's a bad design and people are dying. No, far from it. You know, it's just going to be expensive. It's going to take capacity offline at a time that airlines are really stressed for capacity and people want to fly. So it's expensive, it's inconvenient, but it's not a safety thing. That I can reassure on. It's going to take some time to play out. Already, about 11% of the geared turbofan engine fleet is grounded compared to about 2.5% for their direct competitor, General Electric Safran's Leap 1 series. So it's inconvenient. As you say, costing billions of dollars, going to take capacity offline when it can be least afforded. But again, no reason to worry on a safety front.
Okay, well, that's the good part. But like you said, this is definitely not the time where we need capacity offline. So let's talk a little bit about regional jets. I read something that you wrote recently about what's happened to the regional airlines and what's likely to happen in the future. And just to set it up for our listeners, in the past, flying regional or commuter planes meant usually it would be a turboprop. Then the industry moved into regional jets. Not a lot of manufacturing of either of those these days, outside of a few companies. What's going to replace the current planes as they need to be retired? I mean, they're an important part of our airline network, connecting many passengers from smaller airports to larger ones. So what are you seeing, hearing, and or, you know, sort of expecting in the years ahead on this?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the great questions we're asking ourselves in the business. It's almost like a supply failure because, as you say, there are thousands of 30, 40, 50-seat aircraft out there doing very good work connecting communities and taking people where they want to go. But no one is building new ones. No one is starting new airlines that use the existing ones. You know, one problem is that you had this incredible expansion of very low-cost carriers that took advantage of suburban airports that were, you know, within a reasonably easy drive. So in the old days, you might have driven half an hour to your community airport, then connected in Chicago or whatever. Now you're driving 2 hours to get to an airport where there's a Southwest or Frontier or Spirit or someone like that, paying less, flying direct. And that's siphoned off some of that demand, but there's still plenty of routes that are only flown by these small aircraft. And we're all kind of wondering what's going to inherit that kingdom.
Yeah, because if you think, mm-hmm. I guess on the turboprop side, ATR, right? And then on the jet side,
that's basically it.
Embraer, I guess, you know, if you want to say A220s, maybe, I don't know. I mean, there's just not a lot out there. So it is something that we'll continue to follow. We'll see. And hopefully some people out there are listening. All right. So last week during, you know, one of our commercial breaks, our engineer Bobby asked me my thoughts on JSX jet service as they're expanding operations in Texas, where he's based in Dallas at our network command center. You know, we've watched this company grow in recent years. They offer quasi-private jet experience, if you will, from smaller airports, with prices in many cases that are cheaper than first-class airline tickets. So JetBlue and United, they've invested in the company. They've even transferred passengers to JSX via codeshare agreements. But American and Southwest, and some others, they're fiercely opposed to JSX operations because they say since they operate as a public charter, the rules are different for them. JSX can hire pilots that are too old to fly commercial airlines or too inexperienced as they haven't met the 1,500-hour threshold. I'm all for competition and free enterprise. JSX only flies 30, what are they there, their passenger, older Embraer regional jets we were just talking about. So isn't it a good thing they're building, you know, to possibly benefit travelers, Richard?
Yeah, you know, we're still experimenting, right? I mean, this is in the hybrid state somewhere between private and public, you know, scheduled air service and private, and benefiting from some of the rules, to be certain, associated with private aviation, but providing a cost point that's perhaps somewhere in between the two. So it is intriguing. You know, we don't know what's going to fill. Like I said, it's a real, I think we all know this. It's a bit of a mystery what's going to fill some of the gap in our regional air transport capabilities. Will this be part of it? Quite possibly. As you say, you know, you've got 30 or so Embraer regional jets that were, I think this type was last built in 2005, give you an idea. Yeah. For, you know, why not give them a job moving yeah. people around? It makes perfect sense to me.
I'm curious to see, no pun intended, how they continue to expand and take off.
And they are expanding.
If others will crop up, competitively speaking, to fill that gap. So, Richard, since you follow so many operations in the aviation and airline sector of the travel world, we've just finished up the summer travel season. In 2 months, I can't even believe this, we're going to start the holiday travel season. It'll be here before we know it. What is your current take of the state of the airline sector of travel, whether domestic, international? Do you agree with us that for the most part, 2023 has been a pretty good, you know, pretty solid year for airlines, certainly domestically?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. The one thing that all sectors of the economy have in common right now, whether it's building aircraft or building refrigerators or flying people, is that demand is outstripping supply. You know, that's largely labor driven. You've got a very tight labor market. 3.8% unemployment is something we've never seen before. And airlines, whether it's at the pilot and crew level or whether it's at the maintenance and repair level, they are afflicted by this. You know, the other day I was touring, and I recommend this to anybody who wants to do an industrial tour, the Rouge River or River Rouge facility in Detroit, where they build Ford F-150s.
We've done that.
Mm-hmm. And same stories, you know, just not enough. Demand is outstripping supply. You see it everywhere, and airlines are exactly with that trend.
Yeah, that and by the way, that is a great tour, although right now with the auto worker strike, maybe not the best time to go there, but yes, exactly. All right, so I'm going to have a little fun with you. We've got about a minute and a half with you. You know, I had these stories last week. I wanted to get to it. Didn't have a chance to. First of all, thoughts on Delta Airlines signing a multi-year deal with Super Bowl champ Tom Brady. He's now involved with what they call strategic initiatives, incorporating his winning spirit into the airline, whatever that means. It seems like a very expensive investment. And then we've got United Airlines. They've made a very big deal. They're adding nearly 130 nonstop flights for the 2023 college football season, helping fans go enjoy football, you know, in towns across the country. This week, for example, Northwestern fans, they can fly to Raleigh to enjoy a game with Duke. Or if you want to go from Seattle to East Lansing for the Washington State-Michigan State game, you can do that with United. So an interesting way to boost the bottom line and deploy aircraft. Any thoughts on Delta and Tom Brady or United and college football, Richard?
Yeah, you know, this is part of a fascinating macro issue we could talk about all day. But, you know, what's maybe not so strong? Well, business travel. Some of it is, but a lot of people have cut back, you know, even though travel is strong, business travel, part of it, you know, subject to Zoom and, of course, the sort of telecoms culture that emerged in the wake of the pandemic and whatever else. What's very strong is what you might call experiential travel. I'm going to see a Taylor Swift concert. my daughter is, you know, and going to see a football game and whatever else. It's huge. It's growing. And it's very discretionary. Like, oh, I see an opportunity to do this. I think I'll do it. And I understand completely why airlines would be closely monitoring this trend. And from a marketing standpoint, from a technical advice standpoint, doing all they could to harness it, because there's a lot of long-term growth potential, just that, especially from young people who are really prioritizing experiences as part of a way to spend their money.
Yes, they are.
Next week, by the way, there are 5 big games you can go see. So, Richard, listen, good conversation as always. We appreciate the check-in and updates. Folks, you can follow Richard yourself. His website's very easy, richardabalafia.com, richardabalafia.com. Enjoy the weekend, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Richard. Just heard the phone call end, and always nice to talk to him. Good information, as always. Right now, though, we're going to get ready to take a short time out for a few important sponsor messages. Coming up next, AI and trip planning is going to take center stage. There's still 90 minutes to go on the September 16th live broadcast, and we'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.